Dropping the Needle. You're listening to Dropping the Needle, the podcast where all music from all genres is discussed. New releases, classic albums, rediscovered music, signed and unsigned. No ass kissing. Just two guys talking about music. Here are your hosts, Michael Brandvold from Michael Brandvold Marketing and Mitch LaFon.
Let's get started. So we are here with Udo today. Now, your new album is Steelhammer.
Yes. And what can I say? I mean, I'm really happy with the new album. So the result is fantastic at the moment. So we went everywhere in the charts on high positions in Europe. We went also through the Billboard charts in America. So what can I say? I mean, what else you want? I'm really happy.
Now, I mean, listen, you've been doing this for 30 years. You could go out on tour and just play your greatest hits. Why make new music? Why bother?
Yeah, I mean, otherwise get a little bit boring.
Right.
No, I mean, of course I can do this, go on tour without a new album or stuff like that. But, you know, it's always interesting to create new songs and see how they're working, how it works live when you go on tour. So, I mean, yeah. What can I say? That keeps you also, keep the whole thing also interesting, you know, to see that you still have some ideas and to create a new album.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing I want to ask you. Why make an album? I mean, we're in the time of iTunes where you can go pick up 99 cents, gets you one song. You know, people, YouTube, they put up one video of one song. Why make a collection of songs? Why not just make one song and throw it up on iTunes, and 2 months later come back and do the same thing?
Yeah, but still here in Europe, let's say the people that listen to this kind of music, classic heavy metal stuff, they want to buy the real CD, you know.
Okay.
So it's important, you know. They are not really. I was talking to the record company. So how much percent are the download on? In general, here in Europe, and they say it's like 4 or 5%, so it's not that much.
It's really not that much. Wow.
Yeah. America is maybe a little bit different.
Now, you just toured America in the spring. Do you find a major difference between the European and the American market, or the Canadian and American market and Europe?
I don't know. I don't know about record wise, but for the people, I mean, the audience, it was. I was surprised after 12 years. Mm-hmm. So they are really enthusiastic. They're a new generation, and it's very interesting. And it's good to see there's a new generation for this kind of music also in America. And I have the feeling that this kind of music is coming back in a way, also in America.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's nice to see that after sort of the mid-90s and the early 2000s where, you know, our kind of music sort of disappeared, it's nice to see that it's coming back. Have you thought of doing any kind of other music? I mean, you know, the new album, Steelhammer, is metal. It's in your face. It's what you do.
I never was thinking about to change anything, you know. I mean, we had also here in Europe really bad times, you know, with metal, when all grunge music, electro pop, and I don't know. There was in the 90s, there was in a way a nightmare. Heavy metal was like underground music.
Right. Oh,
but that was really, really a bad time, you know. And so when I started the second time with UDO in 96, it was a really hard beginning. For the first two albums, I think a lot of bands, they was changing a little bit, you know, and I never thought to do anything like that. I always said, okay, I do what I do, and here we go.
Is there a point where you don't do what you do anymore, where you say, I've had enough, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too whatever, and I need to just retire? Is there a point where you say enough's enough?
Enough is enough, yeah. There will be a point. The point is when I have the feeling I don't have fun anymore.
Okay.
That's the most important thing for me, you know. I mean, it's still fun to be on tour. I love to work on new albums, and definitely now definitely with these two young guitar players what I have now, it's really, you know, they keep you also young. You know, they're really pushing everything, and I don't know, that's at the moment a lot of fun to do this.
Yeah, so, is it important to get new musicians every so often for you to keep the energy? Because every time you play with new guys, you get a whole new vibe.
Yeah, but I mean, now with UDO, that was like, Stefan was for 16 years in the band, Igor was for 15 years in the band, Francesco is already nine years with UDO. But it was not planned, you know, but with Stefan, that was a big problem about his health problem, you know, he's got a really problem with his back. And so that was, I don't want to see Stefan. I mean, I know Stefan for, I don't know, over 30 years.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to see him in a wheelchair, you know. And so normally it was planned just to change, replace Stefan. But then Igor also came up and said, I don't have that much time. UDO is going more and more on tour. And I have so many things besides UDO. And I said, you really want to throw away 15 years of UDO? About your cover band and stuff like that, what you're doing on the side?
Mm-hmm.
But he made the decision, what can you do? And I mean, I said, Igor, are you sure what you're doing?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, you have to respect the decision.
Yeah, so, and then for me, it was not so easy. Okay, also change the second guitar player.
Yeah.
But in a way, what can I say? I think I was really lucky with Andre and Kasperi. And they are both brilliant guitar players, and they put, let's say, fresh blood into the band.
Absolutely. Now, you know, the first time I saw you live, you were opening for Kiss at the Montreal Forum, probably January of 1984.
That was 84. Yeah,
What did that tour, because that was the first time you came to North America, so that was the first time for Udo, first time for Accept. What did that mean to you, first of all, as a band, and what did it mean to you personally?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big, big thing, you know. I mean, of course, Accept was already, I can say, quite successful in Europe.
Right, but North America, then, nobody knew you.
Yeah, and then Balls to the Wall, the album was exploding, you know. And then we get the offer to support Kiss.
Right.
And that was really something else, you know. That was like a dream coming true. And I mean, also the guys of Kiss, they were really helpful, you know. They was really teaching us the American entertainment thing, you know. They say, okay, this is not Europe, this is America. You have to be a little bit different on stage and so on and on.
Let me stop you there for a second. When they taught you stuff, was it just sort of casual conversation on the bus, or did sort of Gene and Paul sit you down and say, you know, you need to have a marketing plan. You need to hire this kind of publicist. How formal or informal was it?
That was like, they was telling us how to perform on stage, you know. They was nearly watching nearly every night the show.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was really, really, really friendly. And then after that, at the hotel or sometimes backstage, they said, now it's getting better and better. You have to do a little bit like this and this. And it was really helpful. And
is that stuff that you still use today? I mean, the stuff you learned in 1984 with Kiss, do you still apply that on stage today?
Yeah, but you definitely learn.
Okay.
What I was learning in definitely in America, you know, that was really for us. We had already like halls here in Europe at 84, around 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 seaters.
Right.
But with Kiss, that was like 18,000. That was really big arena. And, you learn how to get the last guy up on the last row, you know. That was
right.
The most important thing what I learned. And this is now still really helpful, you know, when you're doing like a big festivals, you know. You get all the people also in the back. And that was also part of learning what we learned from Kiss.
Yeah, it was an important tour for you and for the band. I mean, Now, I mean, listen, you've been out of Accept for a few years now. If I can just ask you, what did the band mean to you personally? What does Accept mean to you? Because you still play the music. You still, you know, you go to an Udo show, you hear Balls to the Wall.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, what means Accept to me? I mean, I was creating Accept together with Michael Reagan in 69, 70. So there was no Wolf Hoffmann, Peter Walters, Stephen Kaufman, Jörg Fischer, stuff like that. And I always said when I was together with Michael, he was a guitar player. Uh-huh. I said always, Accept has to be the heaviest band in Germany. So, and then I found Wolf. He was 16 or 17 years old,
yeah.
A very young guy. I found him in a band. I forgot the name. He was playing in a bar or something like that. And it was a really young guy and on stage, and I said, this is the guy, what I need. And
why did you say that? What was it about him? Was it just...
That was the way how he was playing the guitar.
Okay.
You know, that was the point. And then, I think I did the right thing. I mean, Wolf had definitely his own style, and he's not a real fast guitar player. He's playing with a lot of heart and soul, let's say it in this way, yeah.
Metal heart.
And, like a metal heart, you can say it like this. So, and then, I mean, Accept developed slowly, you know, not so quick. And we had the first breakthrough was definitely with the Breaker album in Europe. And we did the whole European tour together with Judas Priest. And we learned also from Judas Priest, you know.
Yeah.
And, and then... After the Breaker album, everything was really fast, you know, up to the top. And, what can I say? I mean, of course, Accept means a lot to me, you know. I mean, if you create something like this and it ends up like this, this is not the real nice thing.
Yeah. Now, we'll get back to you in one second. You know, before we mention that, is there a point where you have to pack it in and you can't do this anymore, you have to retire? Before that point happens, do you think you might want to play with the guys for even one show again just to celebrate? Because it's been...
No, this is definitely over. I mean, there were so many, let's say it in a nice way, not so nice things happened.
Okay.
Let's say it like this.
Okay, fair enough. So let's get off of Accept for now. Let's go back to your band. What is the future? What is the plan? So the album came out recently.
Yes. So at the moment we are doing a couple of festivals here in Europe.
Okay.
And then we start in the middle of September a big tour in Russia, and then Then we do the rest of Europe until the middle of December. And then we start touring. I heard so far they are working on the tour in America. So we start maybe the middle of February until the end of March, beginning of April.
Okay.
And then we go to South America for a big tour, and then some festivals. And then next year, definitely, let's say the late summer, we are finished with touring for a Steelhammer album. So that means that there is a lot of work coming up.
So you're going to work it for a good solid year. So after that year, are you already demoing for the next album? I mean, what is the process for, you know, putting an album together? Is this something that you, in a year from now, you sit down for a week and you come up with songs? Or
believe it or not, I have already 8 or 9 demos already for the next album.
Right, and that's what I figure, right? I mean, this is something that you collect for a while and then...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we try to get the most demo stuff, and that we have tons of ideas, you know, and then we can say, okay, we want to use this, this, and this, and this. So, for example, for the Steelhammer album, we had around 35 ideas, you know, and then in the end we took 15 songs, and then, you know, you can then collect and say, okay, this is good, this is good, this is not so good. So, and that, I mean, so... We collect at the moment. We just start collecting, and a lot of good stuff coming from definitely from the new two guys, the guitar players. So, what can I say?
It's great to know that you're not stopping. Now, as a singer, how do you rate yourself, or how do you see yourself? What are your strengths?
Oh, first of all, I cannot listen to myself.
No.
No, okay. it's like a movie actor, you know, they never watch their own movies.
Okay.
Yeah, I always think, oh, I'm not really good and this and this and this, you know, but what can I, this is always very hard to say. I know that I have a unique voice.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I know that a lot of people say, yeah, you think, especially now with the new album, you're singing much better than ever, you know, and so what can I say?
But you've lasted really 30 years. I mean, you've lasted, more than 30 years. I mean, obviously, there's something that you're doing that fans are responding to.
That looks like, So, I mean, in a way that makes you, in a way, I can say you makes me really proud, you know. And I know that, especially here also in Europe, I inspired a lot of musicians, you know. And that's very interesting to hear.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that both Accept and Udo separately have inspired a different group of musicians. Why do you think that music is so inspiring? What is it that makes it timeless?
Yeah, I think it's, how can I explain it? It's in a way handmade music.
Okay.
It's coming from the inside, you know, from your heart, and it's not like blah 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 music, you know. You're always definitely like Accept or also UDO. We always try to say something also lyric wise, you know. And yeah, and I don't know. It's for me, it's important that to write a song that you can remember.
Oh, you know, and in what sense? In terms of having just a big chorus?
Yeah, that you remember the melody. You know, that I think that for me it's a good example. Like Ball Through the Wall, you can remember. Yeah, Ball Through the Wall is like a timeless song, you know. And that is like that means for me it's important to write a song, you know, not like 5 minutes something else that you can remember the melody and stuff like that. So that this is very important.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. You don't want to just put out sort of like a 5 minute guitar solo that has no point. It has to have a purpose. You know, Balls to the Wall, huge success for the band and for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What can you tell me about that song? I know a few years ago you redid a sort of a piano acoustic version of it for a release.
Yeah. So, that was interesting to do this. Some people hate it, some people like it. So
I liked it.
Okay, good to hear. And I mean, it's like the story of Balls to the Wall is like, you know, Wolf had the riff of Balls,
right?
And there was just the hook line, Balls to the Wall. So, and that was it. So, and then one night I was sitting at the studio with Stefan, and they said, I have no idea for the words. And I said, okay, let's try something. We was writing some lyric stuff down. Not the lyric, but what we have now on
right.
On,
but you were just writing stuff.
Just to sing something, and in a way I can say I was quite drunk.
Who wasn't in the 80s?
Yeah. And then I just start singing the verses like this, you know, and then I said, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And here we go, Fall to the Wall.
And it hasn't stopped for 30 years. I mean, it's quite remarkable.
Amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, is there anything that we need to plug in terms of websites or Facebook pages?
I mean, you can see, you get all the information about UDO if you go on udo-online.com.
Okay.
And then you get all the information, all the lyrics, history, tour plans, everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just wanted to thank you for your time. It's been a great pleasure.
Okay, thank you very much talking to you, and hopefully we'll see us again in the U.S.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses, and I just released my own award-winning gourmet hot sauces, from the mild cherry bourbon Bumblicious to the over-the-top Bumblefucked. So, if you want to get Bumblefucked, visit Bumblefoot.com for more information.
You've been listening to Dropping the Needle. Dropping the Needle. With Michael Brandvold and Mitch LaFon.